At their campaign stops, both of the presidential candidates have been telling their supporters this election matters. Many pundits agree, some of them saying that the election of 1996 is the most important in a century. But you wouldn't know that by asking the American people. According to recent polls, less than one quarter of all Americans are following the election closely. Nearly three quarters find the campaign dull. Commentator Don Eberle says the problem is not only the quality of the political debate, but also Americans' expectations.
Ironically, the American people expect both too little and too much from politics. They expect too much when they accept governmentalism, the idea that government is capable of solving the nation's serious social problems. They expect too little when they fail to demand that politicians present an alternative vision centering on the revitalization of our communities and a renewal of self-government. Candidates respond to the electorate's confused expectations by substituting policy jargon for straight talk about present cultural realities. The best illustration of this disconnection is the candidate's narrow focus on the economy, even though prosperity today has become uncoupled from social progress. On the same day the stock market soared past the 6,000 mark, a report was released announcing that the nation's social well-being had fallen to its lowest point in almost 25 years. Ominously, four of the most serious problems facing America's children, child abuse, teen suicide, drug abuse, and the high school dropout rate, have worsened. Measured against these disturbing statistics, the concerns of the presidential campaign ring strangely hollow. Why is it that politicians are able to offer detailed prescriptions for arcane policy issues, but are tone-deaf when it comes to the crisis which cuts to the heart of our democratic society, the continued collapse of the family, community institutions, and the nation's moral consensus? This is not to say that public policy doesn't matter. It does. The issue is one of perspective. In reality, what the government does, stops doing, or does differently has very little direct impact on the nation's most corrosive social problems. The lesson of the present cultural crisis is that the good society cannot be achieved by legislative fiat. Neither is it simply the result of economic growth. It must be persistently cultivated at the grassroots, in our families, in our communities, and in our individual lives. What role, then, do politicians have to play? Their first priority should be to acknowledge the profound limitations of public policy to reverse our cultural decline. At the same time, they should help point the way out of our social crisis by giving voice to the ideals to which we as a people aspire, and by reminding us of our responsibilities as citizens and members of local communities. To borrow from the example of Abraham Lincoln, they should make it their business to appeal to the better angels of our nature. Politicians should also take responsibility for helping to preserve the integrity of public debate. When engaging opponents over policy matters, they should do so out of a genuine regard for the common good, not simply to score political points or to advance the agenda of special interests. This would go far toward restoring dignity and substance to the political process. Who knows? If this responsibility is taken seriously, Americans might actually become interested in politics again.
Don Eberle is director of the Civil Society Project. He came to us with help from member station WITF in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.